Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 22, The Marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, Text 4. Ato hi anyonyam atmanam brahma kshatram cha rakshata rakshati smavyayo deva sa ya sad asad atmaka ato hyanyonyam atmanam brahmakshatram charakshata rakshati smavya yodeva saya sad asad atmaka ato hyanyonyam atmanam brahmakshatram charakshata rakshati smavya yodeva saya sad asad atmaka ato hyanyonyam atmanam brahmakshatram charakshata rakshati smavya yodeva saya sad asad atmaka Anyonyam, each other, Atmanam, the self, Brahma, the Brahmanas, Kshatram, the Kshatriyas, Cha, and Rakshata, protect, Rakshati Sma, protects Avyaya, immutable. Deva, the Lord. Sa, he. Ya, who. Sat, asat, atmaka. The form of the cause and effect. Translation. That is why the Brahmins and Kshatriyas protect each other as well as themselves. And the Lord himself, who is both the cause and effect and is yet immutable, protects them through each other. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The entire social structure of Vanara and Ashram is a cooperative system meant to uplift all to the highest platform of spiritual realization. The Brahmins are intended to be protected by the Kshatriyas, and the Kshatriyas also are intended to be enlightened by the Brahmins. When the Brahmins and Kshatriyas cooperate nicely, the other subordinate divisions, the Vaishyas or mercantile people, and the Shudras or labor class, automatically flourish. The entire elaborate system of Vedic society was therefore based on the importance of the Brahmins and Kshatriyas. The Lord is the real protector, but he is unattached to the affairs of protection. He creates Brahmins for the protection of the Kshatriyas and Kshatriyas for the protection of the Brahmins. He remains aloof from all activities. Therefore, he's called Nirvikara, without activity. He has nothing to do. He is so great that he does not perform action personally, but his energies act. The Brahmins and Kshatriyas and anything that we see are different energies acting upon one another. Although individual souls are all different, the super self or super soul is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Individually, oneself may be different from others in certain qualities and may engage in different activities, such as those of a Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya. But when there's complete cooperation among different individual souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Super Soul, Paramatma, being one in every individual soul, is pleased and gives them all protection. As stated before, the Brahmins are produced from the mouth of the Lord, and the Kshatriyas are produced from the chest or arms of the Lord. If the different castes or social sections, although apparently differently occupied in different activities, nevertheless act in full cooperation, then the Lord is pleased. This is the idea of the institution of four varnas and four ashrams. If the members of different ashrams and varnas cooperate fully in Krishna consciousness, then society is well protected by the Lord, without doubt. In Bhagavad Gita it is stated that the Lord is the proprietor of all different bodies. The individual soul is the proprietor of his individual body. But the Lord clearly says, "My dear Bharata, you must know that I am also Kshetra-gya." Kshetra-gya means the knower or proprietor of the body. The individual soul is the proprietor of the individual body. But the super soul, the personality of Godhead Krishna, is the proprietor of all bodies everywhere. He is the proprietor not only of human bodies, but of birds, beasts, and all other entities, not only on this planet, but on other planets also. He is the supreme proprietor. Therefore, he does not become divided by protecting the different individual souls. He remains one and the same. That the sun appears on top of everyone's head when at the meridian does not imply that the sun becomes divided. One man thinks that the sun is on his head only, whereas 5,000 miles away, another man is thinking that the sun is only on his head. Similarly, the Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is one, but he appears to individually oversee each individual soul. This does not mean that the individual soul and the Supersoul are one. They're one in quality as spirit soul, but the individual soul and Supersoul are different. Ato hyanyonyam atmanam brahmakshatram charakshita rakshati smadhyayo deva sayasad asad atmaka. That is why the Brahmins and Kshatriyas protect each other as well as themselves. And the Lord himself, who is both the cause and effect and is yet immutable, protects them through each other. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutalaya Shalani Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Navane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nera Vishesha Shunyavani Vastya Chadesh Tarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shri Rasani Gauravakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Ball. Vajkat Tarubhyas Jagrita Sindhu Vyayavacha, Padidharma Bhavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha. So how's everyone doing? Are you happily locked down, or whatever? Yes, well, you know. Krishna consciousness is such a wonderful thing, and such an amazing thing, and so different from material things, that even if you're locked down, but if you keep nicely engaged in Krishna consciousness, you'll be just as happy as if you were not locked down. Because we are not locked down, ultimately. Yeah. Anyway, the message is, keep engaged, keep engaged, and keep off the mental platform, keep chanting. And when there's a chance, if there's a chance, read and feed your intelligence. Feed your intelligence with Krishna consciousness. So here we go. It's for the last several verses, even at the end of the previous chapter, it's been all very much Kardama Muni, first of all, was focused on Swayambhuva Manu. You're doing your duties in terms of Varnashram so wonderfully. As a result, everyone is protected, everyone is secure, and everyone is happy. Just because of you, you're doing so nicely. And then coming into this chapter, then Swayambhuva Manu reciprocates, you could say, or at least he expresses appreciation for Kardama Muni and the Brahmins in general, actually. And this is him again speaking about how glorious the Brahmins are. And how, what would you say, not just useful, but useful you could say, but effective the Brahmins are. They have their role, their roles in relation to all of society and the different types of people in society. And because they execute their roles very nicely, then the other members of society are just doing very nicely, doing very well. So that's just glorious, wonderful, and essential if you want a peaceful society. If you're not really looking for a peaceful society, but if you just want to sort of improve your own personal situation through your own personal endeavor, well, that's another thing. Every man for himself and every woman for herself, and what do they say? Look out for number one. Something like that. That's the situation today. Of course, that is there at the root of the material consciousness of every living entity. Why are we here? How did we get here? Because at some point we became dissatisfied with playing our role in a greater sort of environment. That environment of Krishna consciousness in the spiritual world particularly, where Krishna is the center for everyone. And everyone in harmony is trying to satisfy Krishna to the maximum degree. And in the course of that, in the process, appreciating how you're satisfying Krishna, and you're satisfying Krishna, and then they say, but you are satisfying Krishna. It's a very harmonious situation of a type of oneness. Our philosophy, of course, is achintya-bhed abhed tattva. That simultaneous, although somewhat inconceivable, or should I say simultaneously, although somewhat inconceivably, everyone and everything is one with, but different from, Krishna. And everyone is related in those terms. So in the kingdom of God, or you could say in pure Krishna consciousness, there is the perfect manifestation of oneness and difference, in that everyone's an individual. Everyone's an individual. So the difference is there. Bhed. Bhed, abhed. Bhed means difference. Abhed means non-difference, or there is no difference. So everyone individually, in their own capacities, some in this way, some in that way, someone is making a garland for Krishna, at the same time someone is fanning Krishna, at the same time someone is feeding Krishna, at the same time so many things are going on. So there's difference there. There's definitely difference there. But at the same time, it's all for Krishna. And that's the oneness. And they are just so much into it. So much into it. That there is, more or less, you could say, complete harmony. But then, some unfortunate soul, somehow, it's also a bit inconceivable, somehow some unfortunate soul, for some unfortunate and perhaps somewhat inconceivable reason, gets the idea that Sri Sri Radha Radna Sri Giri Gonadam Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yes, some unfortunate soul gets the idea that why Krishna? Why not me? At least a little me. Why not me? So the oneness becomes sort of lost or reduced, and the difference starts to become more prominent until the person comes to the point of making a decision that I don't want to stay here. I want to do my thing and look after me and get my own pleasure for myself. And then one falls into the material world. And here we are, devotees, all of us. We all decided like that. We all went through that process. You know, it's a little hard to imagine that it would just be on the spot that, you know, everything's very Krishna conscious. I mean, about you. And suddenly, bang, you're just totally changed into a completely independently minded materialist. One assumes there would be some sort of step-by-step process, but eventually we have all, it seems, come to that point of making that decision. And even, you know, take this with a grain of salt. That's my advice. Or two. When I was a new devotee, because I'm still a new devotee, I said that the other day, less than 50 years, that's new devotee. But when I was a really new devotee, we were told that Prabhupada said, Hare Krishna, but we were definitely told that Prabhupada said that before we actually fall and enter material life, we were told that Krishna makes a last try, a last effort. This is what we are told. That Krishna comes and talks to us and tries to convince us and turn us around. And we assume if that's really the case, then some may turn around, actually. Krishna's a good preacher. But we didn't. Anyway, however it happened, it's really just a matter of detail. But definitely we came to a decision to live independently from Krishna and just maximize our independent existence and enjoyment, and therefore we're here. Yes, so here though, in the verse, and in the purport, Srila Prabhupada begins the purport in the first sentence. The entire social structure of Varna and Ashram is a cooperative system meant to uplift all to the highest platform of spiritual realization. Cooperative, of course, means oneness. It means oneness. Cooperation means oneness. Of course, cooperation goes on in terms of differences that you cook, I will offer on the altar. And so there are different duties or functions, but it's all going on in a context of oneness. Cooperation in terms of our national cooperation, and specifically cooperation in a Krishna conscious context, not as an atheistic, simply materialistic social system of Brahman, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras, and then the different stages, Brahmachari, Grihastha Vanaprastha Sannyas. But specifically in a Krishna conscious context. So as Prabhupada says, when this goes on nicely in that cooperative way, then everyone becomes uplifted to the highest platform of spiritual realization. Everyone. It's not just the Brahmins. On the surface of it, you can say, for the Brahmins, it would be or should be the easiest to be Krishna conscious. Because they know so much. They understand so much about Krishna consciousness. And they have that natural inclination. So therefore, arguably for them, it's easier. Whereas for the Kshatriyas, they're also knowledgeable to some degree, but definitely not generally to the same degree as the Brahmins. So without the leadership of the Brahmins in Krishna consciousness, then the Kshatriyas, generally speaking, the Kshatriyas are, you could say, doomed. They won't be able to do it completely. They can do many things, but to really bring it all together in pure Krishna consciousness and very expertly and effectively, without the input of the Brahmins, they can't do it, and therefore they'll inevitably be fall down amongst the Kshatriyas. And for the Vaishyas, even more so. They're also twice born, usually. Means they do get some training and education in scripture and what is Krishna consciousness and different devotional practices and sadhana to some degree. But even more than the Kshatriyas, if they don't have direction and guidance and actual supervision within the social structure, then they're even more doomed. And what to speak of the Sudras, who generally don't really get any education at all, except how to do your duty, means generally, at least back in those days in the Vedic times, that there were different families of Sudras who were attached to different families of Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, or Brahmins. And so they'd have their own traditions of Sudra activity. They'd have their own specialties. A Sudra assisting a Brahmin would know how to do this and that, different sort of behind the scenes backup type of activities to assist the Brahmin, whereas the Sudras assisting the Kshatriyas would have different types of backup activities and Sudra activities. So the whole thing, as Prabhupada says here, work cooperatively to uplift everyone, not just the Brahmins, but everyone, including the Sudras, up to the highest level of pure Krishna consciousness and back home, back to Godhead. Even the Sudras. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, in the second canto, where he's talking about the universal form, where the universal form is being discussed, and how the different varnas are like different parts of the body of that universal form of the Lord. Prabhupada says here, what does Prabhupada say? Somewhere at least I read that, yeah. The Brahmins are produced from the mouth of the Lord, and the Kshatriyas from the chest or arms. So you're going down. And the sutras, of course, they're generally like the feet or the lower legs, something like that. But it's interesting, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that in terms of varnashram, like real daivi varnashram, proper Krishna conscious varnashram, Prabhupada makes the point that even though we may think, people may think, that the sutras, what are they? They're not educated, much at least. Yeah, so what, you know, that their position is less fortunate than the Brahmins or the Kshatriyas or even the Vaishyas. But Srila Prabhupada makes an interesting point there, that because the sudras, their whole orientation, the whole way of life, is simply one of service to those who are higher. That's all. Nothing else. They don't get put in charge of someone. They're simply servants, servants, and servants. And they're just serving, serving, serving. And Prabhupada makes the point that this is actually a very advantageous position, because there's a natural and like all-pervasive orientation of service. And Jivera Swarupoya, Krishnera Nitya Das. The constitutional nature of the soul is to be a servant of Krishna. And Prabhupada makes the point that Brahmins, you know, it's obvious that Brahmins are in certain respects in more advantageous positions. They're much better educated and they understand things much more clearly. But a Brahmin can become puffed up through knowledge or through having knowledge, and start thinking that I'm better. So here the point is made that the Brahmins and Kshatriyas, they support each other in such a way that, well, like in our Bhakti Vriksha system, the terminologies at least, when someone is put in charge of a Bhakti Vriksha group, they are not called the leader. They're called the servant leader, with emphasis on servant. Yeah. So the Brahmins and Kshatriyas, the Brahmins are giving knowledge to the Kshatriyas. That's helping the Kshatriyas. It's invaluable. In that way, they're protecting the Kshatriyas. And the Kshatriyas, in turn, are assisting and protecting the Brahmins. Yes. And that's also invaluable. Otherwise, the Brahmins, unless they're really very high-level Brahmins, you know, who can curse people who may come to attack them. But otherwise, the Brahmins, they can be easily abused. So they're mutually protected. And the Brahmins, the idea being that the Brahmins would not really be thinking that, yes, we are better because we are doing this, the most important thing here. And the Kshatriyas, well, you know, It's convenient having them around, but they're much less than us. No, there was a genuine feeling of service to each other. The Brahmins would be thinking, we are serving the Kshatriyas, helping them. And the Kshatriyas would be thinking, we are serving the Brahmins, in different, just supporting, protecting, assisting each other in their specific ways. And then, of course, it was all being passed down to the Vaishyas and the Sudras. So like we said in the second canto, Prabhupada makes the point that the Sudra, in a certain sense at least, is less likely to become puffed up and think, I'm an independent enjoyer, I'm above others, because the position is just so naturally and completely one of service. Whereas the Brahmin, arguably the possibility exists, and of course it definitely happened as Kali Yuga began, they started thinking that they're very important, and becoming attached to their position and attached to being appreciated for doing their brahminical things. Even to the point that now there's so many people, as we've said before, and we have said so many times, so many people who are born in families who were traditionally Brahmin families and actually doing those things, but they became diverted in order to maintain the family. They took up other occupational activities because they couldn't make enough to maintain the family just by living as real Brahmins. So they would become involved in business, particularly. Even it's explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Murari Gupta, who's a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, Murari Gupta, his family was or had been traditionally a Brahmin family. But somehow or other, they got involved in medicine as an occupational activity. And that's what Murari Gupta did. He was a doctor. So, yeah. So somehow or other, by whatever circumstances, they became involved in medicine. And that became their program. And so then, they were no longer considered to be Brahmins. And they were not treated as Brahmins. But they were taken to actually be Sudras. Yeah, at least in Bengal. In other parts of India, they would be seen a little differently, like Prabhupada talks about the Kayasthas, how they're seen differently in terms of Varna. They're seen differently in different parts of India. Yeah, but now we're saying that as time went on in Kali Yuga, these people, like particularly Brahmins, became involved in other occupational duties and gave up the brahminical ones. But because they were attached to the social position, the name and fame, and whatever else, the advantages, material advantages of being a Brahmin, they wouldn't let go of that identity that I am a Brahmin. And we mentioned the other day Panditji, the taxi driver. We won't go through that again. But I asked him, he told me his name was Panditji, and I said, oh, Brahmin. And he pulled out his thread and said, yes. Anyway, Hare Krishna. Aha. So, yes. So, cooperation, oneness, achinchaveda-veda tattva, socially, in the sense of oneness under Krishna, oneness in service to the Lord, and oneness in being the servants of each other, and not assuming some higher position and becoming materially tainted by that, that I'm important in this way or that. But retaining the mood of servant, always. So the oneness is there, and the cooperation is there as part of the oneness, but in terms of different capacities. This is a Chitya Bheda Bheda Tattva. And yes, when things are like that, it works very nicely. It works extremely nicely. Actually, it works perfectly. It's all, you know, there's a connection with, in Sri Upanishad, the Ishavasya system described at the beginning of Ishavasya. Everything is owned and controlled by the Lord. Therefore, everyone should just take their own quota. And of course, everyone should do their own duty like this. So it's the same principle. The same principle is there of staying within your natural boundaries in terms of your personal nature and therefore your position in society. And in harmony with the others, in cooperation with the others, playing your part to help everyone else. And they play their parts to help you. Yes. So this is Krishna consciousness, actually. This is Krishna consciousness. And therefore, Varnashram is such a perfect type of arrangement for Krishna consciousness. And as we know, we've heard so many times, Prabhupada said he wanted it introduced, more strongly and more clearly. We assume that in due course, step by step, and of course there'll probably be hiccups here and there on the way, that it will happen. There's a very interesting incident, pastime, of Lord Krishna. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's elaborated on, or at least touched upon, a little more clearly in Gopal Champu, that Lord Krishna, at one point, he was going to start herding the cows. It's a little bit of a long story, but it's a very nice story. One day he just announced to Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, "I am going to take out the cows." Haribol. And they both, particularly Mother Yashoda, she thought and said, "You can't take out the cows." At the time, if I remember correctly, Krishna had just turned 3. It was on the Gopastami day, which is shortly after Krishna Janmastami in the month of Kartik, and he had just turned 3. And Mother Yashoda said, "Look, you know, you're only 3 years old. You can't take out the cows. You're too small. They won't even see you. They're big and you're small. How are you going to be able to control the cows?" Nanda Maharaj was favorably disposed to the idea in principle. But he thought, "The cows, yeah, they're too big. You take out the calves." So it was agreed. And Mother Yashoda, a little reluctantly, agreed also. Okay, he can take out the calves. So there was a festival. Because now Krishna is taking up the family tradition. Like officially taking up the family tradition in a serious type of way. So when the youngsters would do like that, whatever their varna was, there would be a festival. It's such an important part of life. because it was part of your religion. Your duty was part of your religion. Anyway, so there was a festival, and all the different bridge buses came forward and gave them different gifts. Gave them different gifts to help him perform his duty, sacred duty, of protecting the cows and herding the cows and looking after, the calves. So Krishna was given a stick for herding the calves. Krishna was given a buffalo horn for blowing and calling the calves. And Krishna was given his first flute and many other things. A rope he was given and all sorts of other things. And Mother Yashoda, as a caring mother, she gave him a pair of very beautiful, very quaint little shoes. The local village style, with the pointed toe that turns up. And nowadays they have little mirrors on them and different colors of cloth. In those days they had different jewels on of different colors and different colors of cloth. And a little bell maybe on top of the raised toe. So Mother Yashoda gave him a pair of those, plus an umbrella. And the umbrella was sort of matching, multicolored with jewels. And there was also a servant to carry the umbrella. And she said, there you go, that's my gift. Everyone's giving you different things, I'm giving you this. Take it and you can use it. You can use it. You're going climbing the hills, there are thorns and rocks. And the shoes will protect your feet. And it's hot. It's sunny all day. The umbrella will protect you from the sun. There you go. But Krishna said, no, I will not take them. I will not take these. If you want me to take them, I could take them. But if you want me to take them, you must give two pairs of shoes for each calf and a servant with umbrella for each calf also. And Nanda Maharaj had 9,900,000 cows. And, it must have also been a similar number of calves. So those were really some big numbers. And Mother Yashoda said, no. They're just animals. They don't need shoes. They don't need an umbrella. They're animals. You're a human. This is for you, for human beings use these things. But then Krishna said, no, I will not take these. I will not take them. I will not take anything better than the cows. Krishna said, the cows are our religion. It's an interesting perspective on the situation. It means, not just with Krishna, not just with the Vaishyas who were herding the cows, but with everyone who had their duty. Brahman, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Sudras, those duties were sacred. They're part of their religion. It's not like you have your job and you just do it, and then you have your religion and you go to the temple or church or mosque on Sunday or whenever, and you've got two distinct things, your duties, occupational duties, and your religion. The occupational duty is part of the religion, actually. So it's as sacred as, for example, offering an arati or something like that. It's no less sacred. So Krishna said, yes, they are our religion and they are our lives. Our lives depend on them. And Krishna said, I will not take anything better than the cows. Again, the idea here is the sort of harmoniousness. And Krishna spoke a very important little sutra. Dharmo rakshati rakshitaha. Dharma, in this context, meaning religion or Krishna consciousness. Rakshati, he or she who protects Dharma. Rakshitaha becomes protected by that same Dharma that he or she is protecting. It's a cooperative system. And it's a type of oneness. It's a type of oneness in a social sense. And it applies in a general way to Krishna consciousness. In other words, like Varnashram, Krishna consciousness is a self, or should be, if properly executed, a self-sustaining process. That you don't need to go outside Krishna consciousness for anything. Anything at all. Your life can be complete within, with all its different aspects, in the context of being part of Krishna consciousness. So Dharma Rakshati Rakshitaha, one who protects and maintains the standards of Krishna consciousness, becomes protected and maintained by that Krishna consciousness. Yeah. So you don't need to go outside. So I thought about that. It's an interesting little point. And it's related, at least to some extent, with the theme here of cooperation and different people doing different things. And in a certain sense, some are on this level, some are on other levels, lower, etc., etc. But there's oneness between them all. And there's great cooperation between them all. And there's not the false ego of I am better than you, or someone who is in a lower position thinking, why is he better than me? I must assert myself and just show that I'm also that good, or I'm even better. So yes, this discussion here, Swayambhuva Manu, a highly intelligent person, to say the least, he's actually a type of incarnation of Krishna, Manvantara Avatar. It's not always, but generally a type of Shaktya-based situation, a jiva, who's empowered as the leader of humanity. So he's bringing out all these wonderful and very relevant points about Varnashram and Krishna consciousness in that context. And let me just close by mentioning an incident with Srila Prabhupada, which I'm sure some of you, at least maybe all of you, are familiar with, that Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Sweden in a place called Uppsala, somewhere near Stockholm, in the university, Uppsala University. So Prabhupada's giving a class, and Prabhupada mentioned about Varnashram and the different levels, and the Brahmins are the highest and like that. And so one negatively minded, kind of antagonistically minded student asked a question that, well, you know, like you're instructing us, so I suppose you are better than us. You're the best. And Prabhupada said, no, actually I'm the servant of all of you, so I am in the lowest position. So like this, when devotees become advanced in Krishna consciousness, even if they have some high position or multiple positions, they're still able, not exactly able, but just naturally, they manifest humility and a cooperative spirit with those who are even much junior. And that's a natural result of advancement in Krishna consciousness. It's a natural result. And Prabhupada showed it so clearly and very beautifully, actually, in that little incident. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any comment or question?
We're just going to have a small discussion now.
Oh. All right.
But I think we can take one comment.
Is there a question? If not, we're going to have a little meeting. Yeah. Prabhu. Way back in the distance. That's the question, is it? Why would you choose? Yeah. Well, yeah, if you're cognizant, that's the thing. But if you lose cognizance to a sufficient degree, if you lose cognizance, if your thinking becomes clouded, then you can do all sorts of things. Yeah. Just like a human being can come to the point of living like an animal and then becoming an animal. But they were human. They had a human intelligence. But anyway, I mean, your question or the sort of lead up to it was kind of slightly complex. And it's a fact, Prabhupada, well, the great devotees who are in pure Krishna consciousness within this material world, they are seeing Krishna. Because it is part of Krishna's kingdom, of course. It is part of Krishna's kingdom. But they're seeing Krishna, we're not. So we may have some conviction, like right now. We have some conviction, which is very good, that yes, I should be Krishna conscious, and it's the right thing, and understand the position of Krishna, you know, as far as we're able, and our position as far as we're able. That doesn't mean that we're on the same level of consciousness as, for example, someone like Srila Prabhupada, we're in a sort of interim position. We're sadhakas. We're not, we're sadhakas. We're learning, we're practicing, we've still got some way to go. So, you know, because we have not actually reached that point of full Krishna consciousness, therefore, sometimes we see some sadhakas fall back down into material life. These things happen, unfortunately. We've had enough experience of that happening. So I don't know, am I addressing your point? Or not exactly? Can you just re-express it?
If I'm fully Krishna conscious, as Krishna says, if we're in a spiritual world, we are such a, we are full of knowledge.
Yeah.
And the knowledge means I know Krishna, I know all the material world, whereas I know all the spiritual worlds. Why would I choose to come down and suffer?
Well, you're right. Okay, if we just look at that, then we would say yes. Good question. Why did you do something so stupid? There's no good explanation. That I made this choice for some very good reasons. So, good choice. Now the thing is that because we're very small, we can misuse our minute independence. Krishna also has independence. But it's very big. He doesn't misuse it. So he doesn't fall. Even those devotees like Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, they're not Tatastha Shakti. They're not marginal living entities. They're part of the internal potency. So for them, there's not really the possibility that they might choose to fall down. But because of our very small position, Tatastha, in between material and spiritual, therefore in principle, it's possible for us to misuse our minute independence, even from a position of Krishna consciousness. And on the other hand, it's possible, even when someone is deeply absorbed in material life, to take to Krishna consciousness, because there's minute independence. Therefore, the possibility exists, and we've all done that, of despite our backgrounds, what we've come from, we've chosen to take to Krishna consciousness. So, but yeah, like, you know, sometimes we do something stupid, and afterwards we realize, and we say, why did I? Did it ever happen to you? How did I make a decision like that? What happened to me? Well, minute independence. Therefore, the possibility is there of going this way or going that way. And even though going the wrong way is, you know, just so clearly such a terrible choice, but sometimes people make terrible choices. And therefore the minority are here in the material world, an extreme minority. The vast majority are still in the spiritual world, because it's very rare. It's not 1 in 2 or 1 in 5 or 1 in 10. It's not 1 in 100. It's very rare that someone chooses to come to the material world and really try to Krishna. It's extremely rare, because it's such a stupid decision. You know, the likelihood of someone making that decision is extremely small. But when, as you mentioned, as Krishna says, when one returns, having been through it all, and in purified consciousness, being able to remember everything that one has been through, then one doesn't come back again to the material